You are what you eat. Most of us have heard this expression before, usually in the context of someone trying to tell us that we need to eat better. The idea being that if you eat healthy foods, that is, if you eat a balanced diet of good proteins and unrefined carbohydrates and fresh fruits and vegetables, you will be healthy. But if you eat nothing but junk food, that is, if you eat processed foods loaded with preservatives, various types of fast food, and loads of fatty foods, and drink tons of sugary drinks, you will be unhealthy. And there is truth in this. How you eat does impact how you feel, and that does play an important part in your sense of self. Of course, I'm not here tonight to give you a lecture on healthy eating. First of all, I don't hold a dietitian's degree or a dietitian's license. And second of all, that's not my calling. I'm a preacher of the gospel and not a dietitian. But I do want to hold up to you the fact that if you are what you eat is true on a physical level, and it is, then it is certainly also true on a spiritual level. Which brings us to tonight. Tonight, we gather to celebrate and remember the institution of the Lord's Supper. On this night, Jesus gathered his 12 apostles around him to celebrate his, actually the, final Passover meal. I say the because in what Jesus was about to do on Good Friday, he was bringing the Passover to a fulfillment in himself. He was becoming the true and final Passover lamb who was going to be sacrificed to set all people free from our real captors, that is, sin, death, and the devil. And so, it's in the context of celebrating the Passover meal, which we heard about in tonight's Old Testament lesson, which commemorated God's redemption, God's rescue of the people of Israel from Pharaoh and from the false gods of Egypt, that Jesus interrupts that meal to proclaim this new reality. As St. Paul recounts in our epistle lesson tonight, on this night of betrayal, in which Judas would turn Jesus over to the Jewish authorities, and they would turn Jesus over to the Roman authorities, and the disciples would all either deny him or abandon him, Jesus took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took one cup, and instead of pouring that cup out into multiple cups, which was the typical thing to do at the Passover, Jesus keeps the one cup whole, and he proclaims, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So what is Jesus doing here? Well, on the one hand, as I said a few minutes ago, Jesus is drawing the Passover event to its fulfillment in himself, and he is also announcing the arrival of a new covenant. The old covenant, the covenant that was given to Moses, was a covenant of law. And that covenant of law is being brought to its end, brought to its fulfillment in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus is now instituting a new covenant, the covenant that was promised in Jeremiah chapter 31. This is what Jeremiah says. "In the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." That new covenant that was promised through the prophet Jeremiah, that one that is being promised is not a covenant of law, like the covenant that was given to Moses. Not a covenant that says, I'll do this part, if you do this part, then everything is going to be okay. But the covenant that Jesus is announcing here, this new covenant, is a covenant of forgiveness. It is a covenant that brings about a new heart, that brings about a heart of faithfulness. That's what Jesus is promising is taking place in the giving of his body and the shedding of his blood on the cross that's about to take place. The covenant of forgiveness, which is a one-way covenant in which Jesus does all the work and gives everything to us, all the benefits of it, free of charge, is about to come about. It is about to happen. But there's also something more happening here. The word that Jesus uses that gets translated as covenant here in this translation of the Bible, diatheke, that word can rightly be translated as testament as well, as in last will and testament. And the truth is that Jesus, by using the word diatheke, means both covenant and testament. Jesus is playing all kinds of word games in John's gospel where he uses words that mean two things, and he means both of the things by it. This is another one of those. Jesus means both covenant and last will and testament. By the way, that's why in Rite 1 we say, this is the blood, my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you. And in Rite 2 we say, this is the blood of the New Covenant that is shed for you. Because both are right. And we straddle them between right one and right two. What the Lord's Supper is Jesus' last will and testament. In it, Jesus is giving us his whole inheritance, all that he wills for us to have that belongs to him. Everything that is his that he wills for us to have, he gives to us. And much like in an earthly situation, when a person has to die before the last will and testament kicks in, Jesus is going to die on the cross tomorrow to activate that last will and testament. To put this another way, the death of Jesus on the cross is for us and for the forgiveness of our sins. But it has to be applied to each one of us. And that application, the actual giving of the last will and testament of Christ, the actual giving of the fruits of what Jesus accomplishes for us there on the cross on Good Friday, comes to us through the Lord's Supper. This, along with baptism, is the way that we participate in the death of Christ. Here in the Lord's Supper, Jesus is giving us all that he wants us to have. And what does he want us to have? Himself. Why? Because he is life itself. Jesus wants us to have him because he is life itself. So when we receive the sacrament, we are truly eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ. Jesus is here as the host of the meal. I'm just the sort of hands to do the work. But Jesus is here as the host of the meal, and Jesus is also the food that we're receiving. He is both things. He is giving us his very own self in giving us the bread and the wine that are his body and blood. And what we are receiving in that body and blood that we eat and drink is forgiveness and life. That's the gift that we receive in this meal. As you eat what seems like anything but a feast, let's be honest, it's just a crumb of bread and a sip of wine, you are receiving a spiritual feast in the promise being made to you. You are receiving Jesus along with his promise of forgiveness and everything that goes along with that, the promise and pledge of eternal life in God's kingdom and the promise and pledge of a place at his banquet table on the last day when he comes again. That is why Paul says that the Lord's Supper is a preaching act. It is a promise being spoken to us. Paul says, for as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So back to where we began. You are what you eat. If this is true when it comes to our daily diets, this is absolutely true when it comes to the Lord's Supper. As you eat the bread and drink the wine, you are eating the true body and the true blood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament. And he is giving himself to you. He is giving the whole of himself to you here in that small piece of bread and that small sip of wine. He is making you the promise in that bread and wine that you are forgiven for all of your sins. You are a forgiven sinner. You get it? You are eating forgiveness, and that means you are forgiven. That's what I mean by you are what you eat. What that means is that this meal that we celebrate tonight is a meal for sinners. And so if you're a sinner, then I invite you to come forward to the altar rail tonight to receive the medicine of grace, because that's what this is. And guess what? It's free of charge. Amen.